VFW Mobile.
Intel, 4HK.
Patrick, how you doing today?
So far, Leon is coming through the black hole, and Eric's grabbing his biscuits, so they'll be back here in just a minute.
Guy walking down the road, I think it's the guy caught on the camera in my backyard.
Pull over and jerk him around to find out.
The right size, and he's got one of them reflective vests on. And it looks like he's just walking down the road going, you know, headed somewhere.
To where?
He's just the guy just walking in the early morning.
Good after the class last night?
It was like you had to know every detail of how your motor works in your car to be able to do 70, and if not, you're limited to 50.
The phrasing and the definition of that word is so close together, it's just, it's going to take a minute to straighten that out.
You had to just read the question and know the answer and just relate those together, because I could care less about knowing that. I mean, you know, rules is one thing, and you know how wide your signal is, and how propagation works, and that I can understand all that. But this, like, is ridiculous. The more I get into it, the more I'm like, you know what? Just forget it.
I ain't gonna give up on it yet, but it's gonna take a little bit.
In the class, that some of them, you know what I mean? They're all about electronics. They just enjoy the hell out of it.
I'm on there. I'm wondering why they're taking it. I mean, they don't give you a chance to even read the question. Good at taking subtle hints, either.
Like, wait 3 or 4 seconds before you answer.
There's always got to be one in every group.
In a dead spot here in just a second. Rear is always iffy.
I'm back. Morning, Ken.
Hey, Sketch. Just Ken and Leon. Leon's in the black hole. He'll be back out here in just a minute. And Ken and I were just talking about the extra class last night.
Let's go up behind me and two cars in the left lane just sat there, and then the guy in the middle lane is just pacing the ambulance right beside him.
I'm pretty clueless these days, but how is that class going, guys?
Yeah.
I'm trying to take in the definition for all the different components and circuits and all that stuff, and like I was telling Ken, they're worded so closely together that you really got to pay attention to which one's which.
Example of how they're worded very closely?
Give me a minute and I'll see if I can't drum one of them up.
Electronics is not a problem. You could care less about electronics than it's a problem.
About oscillators and mixers last night, and just some of the definitions on different types of oscillators and mixers and the components that were in them.
A whole bunch of different types of oscillators and mixers and stuff. And yeah, it's weird because, you know, nobody builds discrete oscillators anymore. Everybody uses either a crystal or, you know, some kind of internal oscillator to an IC or something. Like, you know, external oscillators aren't really much of a requirement anymore.
And there was like, what, 3 or 4 types, and it was old, you know, and then bringing you into the moderate stuff, and it was just, like I said, it was just a lot to take in that quick.
How is learning all of this? Why do I need to know all of this just to get a little bit more frequency?
They're teaching old dog new tricks. So.
Get on the porch.
I just need to, I mean, you know, basic electronics, great, but different examples, right? you know, building a discrete oscillator is not really a useful skill anymore. But, you know, building other things with discrete electronics could be useful, like, you know, amplifiers and filters and things like that. And I think they should probably focus more on that, because those are more useful skills in modern radio time. You know, being able to build a discrete op-amp filter is a useful thing to do in radio, because you might need to do it sometime. But, you know, building a Colpitts oscillator, you know, nobody needs to do that anymore, and, you know, radios don't have them, so you don't need to know how they work or how to fix them or anything. So, you know, the question pool and the material is in desperate need of modernization.
What they're going to do on the next 4 years, so...
You know, there were questions about Colpitts oscillators when I took the extra back in 1998 or whenever it was. The material in the book, you know, it still doesn't explain what an oscillator really is or why it works. I mean, it's just an amplifier with positive feedback instead of negative feedback. And they could have written that one sentence, and, you know, people with an understanding of anything would say, oh, well, it's an oscillator is just an amplifier, and it has positive feedback instead of negative feedback. That makes sense. But they don't even bother to say that, you know, which allows you to draw an understanding between these two classes of circuits, amplifiers and oscillators.
Whether they were pushing the full of the sine wave or the amplitude, and then 180 to 360, like I said, I've got to go back and review it and just try to soak it in a little bit more.
As between plus and minus 90 degrees of phase shift, the amplifier will tend towards instability, and if it has, you know, if the feedback phase shift is in the left-hand plane, i.e. greater than 90 or less than minus 90, then it'll tend towards stability because it'll have enough, you know, phase shift to be considered negative feedback. So that's the easiest way. So you draw your Cartesian, you know, axis, and if your phase shift is on the right-hand side of the axis, then it's going to tend towards instability, and if your phase shift is on the left-hand side, then it's going to tend towards stability.
It's just going to take some more time sitting down and going over it again. It's just stuff coming at me that fast, it's a little hard to absorb.
But, you know, the extra class manual is no joke, so it's just a lot of information. You know, I just wish it were presented a little bit more clearly for people who don't already know the material, because, you know, the questions are written by people who already know the material, and they're thinking about people who already know the material. They're not really putting themselves in the place of somebody who does not yet know the material.
You need to take the engineers out of writing the questions.
Articles on Wikipedia having anything to do with math or science. Because those Wikipedia people that write those articles are doing it just to show off how smart they are and not really to teach anybody anything.
Leon, where'd you go? I heard you in there.
Yes. So y'all had that technical conversation this morning. I'm just listening. It was a little over my head.
It was over mine, too. Good morning, Leon. KN4 TFW.
I need to get studies on that stuff. You know, getting way ahead of me.
Just don't even read the book. Just go to the back, read the question and answer. Question and answer, and you'll be fine. Sign that said there was no sense remembering something if you could look it up.
One problem with that, most people don't know how to look it up anymore.
KO4 CEF Mobile.
KN4TFW. Morning, Andrew. You're running late, aren't you?
Good day, KT.
Morning, Andrew. I'm running late, too. KD4 ILX.
Yeah, running a little bit late. And I jump in the car, and I'll try to scramble somebody's brain first thing in the morning with my sine waves and all this other stuff. Y'all have fun with that. I was going to ask how class went.
Doing good. Like I was telling everybody else, it's just a lot to take in that fast.
There's just like a 6-month class at college. So, I mean, and you're trying to learn, you know, a chapter and a half and, you know, in an hour and a half.
But, you know, end up, you know, learning answers to the questions, you know, through just memorizing. That's cool, but if there's one thing you do take away from the extra class, and the one thing that I think that, you know, you will use the most is how to, you know, the concepts and practice around impedance matching. I think that's probably one of the most important skills that the extra class will teach you, is how to take, you know, something that's of one impedance and match it to something of another impedance. Because it's something we do all the time with our antennas and antenna tuners. But, you know, an antenna tuner is kind of a dumb machine. It's a lot more important if you understand impedance matching. You can use your antenna tuner a little bit more smartly. And basically at the end of the day, you get a much broader band match if you... you know, if you have that skill. So that's the one thing that I would recommend, is just, like, really study impedance matching and how it works, and then, you know, that'll serve you really well as an amateur radio operator.
But I can understand how it's beneficial. Just, you know, how to build a radio when you have no interest in it at all. It's kind of aggravating.
What you said there, Eric, is very profound, very intuitive. Thank you for that.
I got some guy harassing me here on the highway.
Me? No, I just said I appreciate your intuitiveness on that. It's very profound. It's a good takeaway. Good point.
I can go on for a long time on Smith charts and how to use them to do impedance matching. When I was in college, we actually derived all the circles on the Smith charts and why they are where they are and where they come from. And that was pretty cool. But then, you know, using a Smith chart, it's a really, really handy tool for understanding. And, you know, one of the things that you'll learn, like, once you get into impedance matching and really understand it, you'll learn why your standard off-the-shelf three-component fixed topology antenna tuner is actually a pretty crappy solution for doing impedance matching. What you really need is a three-component tuner where you can put the three components in any topology, pi or t, or then, you know, with the capacitors or the inductor in different places, to really, you know, match from the correct quadrant. So I could go on for hours about that, and maybe sometime I'll do like an online presentation on that, because that'll really, you know, it'll really kind of blow your mind when you see how all that stuff works.
Doing Google Smith charts, because I don't understand them at all. So that's going to be something I got to do now.
That in the class, maybe I'll do a Zoom call and I can go into it in a little bit more depth if you guys are interested.
Be good. Try to help some of us learn this stuff. Maybe we can bring you some adult beverages and have a powwow one night.
You know, Courtney and the kids have been interested in getting their licenses too. But yeah, like if you guys wanted to do that, we could work something out. Just my schedule's pretty busy for travel, but yeah, I'm sure we could find something.
True.
If it wasn't for owning the Nano VNA and using it for the impedance on my antennas and stuff, whenever I'm portable, I wouldn't even know what a Smith chart was.
The answers on the test. I had to explain to my wife where I was hanging out if it wasn't working.
You got in the doghouse for that.
I said, well, you know, I made a mistake. Went in the wrong day. She says, well, where have you been?
Work today.
It's been about 30 minutes.
On the mountain twice in a week like that, and she's really going to start to wonder.
How much time with Sky Patrick? Worked out really well, so I got up right at right the time she needed me.
Good. And I'm used to it. Most wives hate me anyway because their husbands owe me money. So nothing new.
I don't owe you money, but she may think otherwise, right? I said, well, Patrick has this. Is that, so you gonna go out and buy one? Four IOX.
Yep. How's this morning?
It's basing out completely. W WT and JKT.
Computer fixed.
Nope, I still ain't figured out what's going on with that. it's the craziest thing I've seen.
For computer upgrades, right? Not.
Every time there's an update on something, it messes with some kind of setting in it, and then you gotta figure out where it's at.
Well, on that one, I've been very fortunate in all the upgrades I've done. Every time I see a pop-up message or whatnot, upgrade, I'm like, do I really want to do this, but I do it anyway. And I'm not having any problems lately.
That machine is just a matter of time.
Andrew?
Really? I mean, I've been using Windows forever. But, you've been around them long enough, you know at some point in time something's going to happen. Whether you got to shut it down a certain way, or you get a blue screen of death or something.
Rather, skilled at renewing or refreshing the operating system. About once every 6 months or so, just reinstall Windows again.
My Linux box, new from scratch back in about 2014, and ever since then I've just been doing upgrades and package management, and it's still going fine.
It's working fine. The problem is when I try to use my external monitor, it won't let me close the keyboard on my Surface like I was before, where I could close it up and just lay it over out of the way. Now I have to keep the keyboard open and to get the external monitor to work, and it's set to never, never, never go to sleep no matter what, and it still does.
Eric, it's like he through the upgrade, they took away the button that allows you to disable the feature where you close the keyboard and push the screen to sleep. I don't know if they moved it, deleted it, or what they did, but I looked at that back and find it. It's all on you, Patrick.
I worked on it for hours and still haven't been able to find it.
Things they just, during the upgrade, when they were writing the code for it, they just overwrote that part of it.
Well, not as bad as the program Matco you're writing. That thing is garbage. It's something every time you try to use it.
Because when they go out and write those programs, they pay a programmer to write the program for them. And they never follow up with, you know, making sure that the people they bought it from is debugging the program for upgrades. That kind of stuff.
Pulling the parking lot, so y'all have a good one. 7-3, be safe out there today, and hopefully we'll holler at you tomorrow morning. KO4CF, and I'll be clear on y'all's phone.
Andrew, have a great day. KO4HKX.
N4KMW.
W2JKT, have a good day.
Hey, Andrew, 7384, IOX. And they go to cut any services? They said anything about cutting services due to this upgrade on 290? Like your water, sewer, electric, anything like that?
Anything about it.
A water line. I already put it together and it's all ready to be laid in a trench that's not there yet. So I don't know if that's a full-time solution or I don't know what they're doing with that. But someone's going to interrupt somebody's services.
Line Leon. And they're going to put gas down through there, natural gas.
Along the right side of the route?
It's all natural gas.
Pretty big pipe for natural gas.
The project is bringing natural gas from the substation there behind the church on Wade Hampton next to the post office all the way out through there, back out to 25, to catch all those housing developments out through there.
No Biden. Natural gas is the way to go for eating and cooking.
Instead of the electric one we've got now.
Electric range and electric water heater, just for the fact that I'm not hauling LP gas and I'm not having them bring our big old trucks up and tearing up the road.
They'll be had it since I moved in there. They generally don't have a problem getting into the house.
It'll be just keep going up the way it is.
The tool truck's tank filled up Monday, and it cost for 15 and a half gallons. It cost me $50.
Generator you got on the truck?
Propane heat.
Generator's diesel.
Yes, sir.
That has its own tank, or it draws off the truck's tank. KD4 IOX.
The truck.
We had it was a gas generator, and it drew off a gas tank in the RV. So it was a gas RV, obviously.
Diesel powered heaters for vehicles now.
Guys run those. They tend to have a lot more trouble out of them. If you run any kind of fuel additive in your diesel, it causes a problem with them, is what they're finding out. And every truck I've had to have propane heat, and I've not had any real trouble out of it, so I just stick with it.
Main Big Buddy heater that I use down on my ham shack in the basement.
The RV works great.
My paint furnace in it was just fantastic. I love it.
Paint furnace in the camper, but I'd prefer to use the Big Buddy. It just gives out better heat. I don't know, the furnace in the camper is just so noisy, and it doesn't seem like it heats like the Big Buddy heater does.
That with the furnace, you're not getting the added humidity of the combustion products of the propane. So, you know, when you combust propane, the combustion products are carbon dioxide and water. So you get a lot of water vapor off of that, and it makes, you know, especially in the wintertime, it makes the interior atmosphere a lot more pleasant because you're adding a lot of moisture.
That's a better job.
Still smoking? Wanted to make sure I hadn't heard nothing out of you in a few minutes.
Down the road to the gate. So I'm going to say 7-3. You guys have an awesome day, and I'll try to catch up with you guys later. KN4 TFW.
Hey, thanks. KO4 HKX.
W2 JKT.
Again, take care. Let that brain rest today. KD4 IOX. These morning road warriors is tailgating everybody and zipping in and out of lanes and everything.
You're not, Patrick, but I must have got slower in my old age or so. Somebody else has just gone crazy. Do you use the Smith chart in the electronic stuff you're doing? Just out of curiosity. I was just curious why you went so in-depth in learning it.
Designing an impedance matching network, one thing they will not go over in the extra class is the use of the circles of constant Q on the Smith chart to do broadband impedance matching networks. So if you're designing a product that has a fixed antenna and you know, you know, the system impedance, but you need that antenna to be broadband, one of the things you can do is use the Smith chart with a line of constant Q and just pick a low Q to get a wideband match for it. So, for example, you know, we have FM radios that use a chipset, and we have, you know, a built-in short antenna broadband because the FM, you know, the FM band is, you know, 20 megahertz wide or something like that. And if you have an electrically short antenna, it's going to have a very narrow bandwidth. So you need to use a matching network with a wide bandwidth to be able to match it. So that's one application for using a Smith chart for impedance matching. Now, of course, you know, we don't often have fixed antennas, but, you know, once we put up the dipole is the dipole. So you could conceivably, if you wanted to design yourself a fixed matching network that is broadband on a particular band, you could do that. Or you can also calculate where you need to be in your antenna tuner, because an antenna tuner is a non-deterministic solution. So there are many solutions in your antenna tuner that will match an antenna to a specific frequency, but the bandwidth of that match will depend on where your knobs end up. So if you know, you know, about where your broadband match should be, that allows you to land a much better match with your antenna tuner.
They're getting multi-band antennas out of one dipole, like mine, I go from 160 to 6 meters on a center-fed dipole.
That's probably something different. Probably taking advantage of the fact that a center-fed dipole will be a good impedance match on all of the odd harmonics of the fundamental. So, for example, you know, an 80-meter dipole will work great on 30 meters, and it'll also work great on a couple of other bands. But if you really want a dipole that works on all bands, you need to feed it off-center at a point where your impedances line up a little bit better. But that's probably a different phenomenon you're talking about there.
Center-fed, but I've got it up in the inverted V configuration right now. And you can do it in an L and inverted V. I mean, you can do it in several different ones, but that's what I have it up right now. And the radio tunes across all of them, I've not had any issue with it, so seems to be working pretty good.
Fellas, let me jump out real quick. Y'all have a great day. 73, talk to y'all later. KD4IOX.
Stay safe out there today with the Road Warriors. KO4HKX.
Be safe. This is W2JKT. A web page when I get to the office, Patrick, that shows you how dipoles work on multiple bands. It basically gives a graphical representation of the voltages and currents on a wire, and it'll show you basically how the off-center fed dipole works on multi-bands, but also how a center fed could work on multi-bands. It's a pretty good tutorial on it.
I appreciate that, but Eric, I'm gonna have to bail out of here. I'm at my first stop also. Hopefully you don't have too far to go.
25 miles to go, so I'll be there shortly. But have a great day and be safe, and treat your customers well. I'm sure you always do. Hope they treat you well as also. So have a great day. Talk to you soon. W2JKT73.
You be safe out there the rest of your trip. And thanks for always coming in here and answering some of those questions for us, and be willing to help. I do appreciate it. KO4HKX, and I'll be clear. 73.